This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Joe Montana joins us on Sports Byline, the Hall of Fame quarterback. And one of the things that I think is a benefit of my career in particular is you get the opportunity sometimes to follow a person's career. And I remember John Elway when he was at Stanford. I was the play-by-play broadcaster down there, so I followed his career then and then throughout the National Football League and into the Hall of Fame. And I could say the same thing about Joe Montana. When he joined the 49ers, I was here in San Francisco as a sportscaster on television, so I had a chance to follow his career right through the National Football League and, of course, into the Hall of Fame, his first year of eligibility after a fine 15-year playing career, 13 of those with the 49ers, where he won 4 Super Bowls and a record 3 Super Bowl MVP awards. And it just seems like it went by so quickly, Joe. Did it go by for you when you look back upon it?
Yeah, very fast. You know, too fast for you, when you put it in perspective for the rest of your life. That went by really fast.
What was it like when you were going through it, though? Did it seem like it was in slow motion?
No, it was going fast. It just it felt like it would never end, though. You know, you knew there was an end point to it, but it just felt like, oh, I'll see you next year, next year, next year. But finally came to a halt.
Hey, you know, when I talk to young broadcasters, I think about, would I want to get into this business at this particular time, knowing what I know? When you think about players in the National Football League and after you've been down the road ahead of them, what do you think about?
No, I think it's great. I still think it's a great opportunity for guys, and it's just a lot of fun. I just try to tell the guys that I end up run into and say, hey, whatever you do, man, enjoy it, because when it's over completely. I mean, there's no going back to it. So have fun, you know, win or lose. I mean, it's obviously a lot easier when you're winning, but you got to enjoy it, because you'll miss it when you're done.
How much difference is the business of football today than when you came in as a rookie in the NFL?
Well, I think it's a lot different. Back then, we didn't have the free agency and the salary cap issues that they got today. And so it has to be, you know, a lot looked at a lot differently, especially on the business side of it. You know, they're always moving guys around, trying to stay underneath that cap and trying to find ways to make money as an organization.
You were a third-round draft choice of the 49ers, and the knock on you is that you couldn't throw the ball a long way. And yet I'm wondering about the valuation process in the National Football League. How much can they evaluate the heart of a player, the desire of a player? Or are they so locked into 40 times arm strength, passing strength, that it negates all of that?
I think they get too locked into it. I mean, in some cases, I think what the way that they look at it is that, well, most guys, our chances of success are better if we have these components. But it's hard to measure that part of it. You don't know. I mean, you just don't know what you get no matter what. You could have a guy that had tremendous heart. Let's go to Ricky Williams. I mean, here's a guy that just said, all right, I don't want to end up like Earl Campbell, you know, and said, that's it, I'm done. You know, how do you know that? How do you measure that? You can't. And then you got guys like Doug Flutie. Guys said he's way too small to ever make it. Now look at him. He's still hanging around. They can't get rid of him.
So I really think that you being drafted in the third round was a blessing in disguise, because being drafted in the first round, expectations go along with that. You had a chance to kind of settle in a little bit. Steve DeBerg was already in San Francisco, and Bill Walsh was there with that system. In retrospect, was that being drafted in the third round a benefit, because it didn't hold you back into the success that you had?
Yeah, I think it was. You know, I did kind of get under the radar. I didn't have to worry about going in there and making up for my first round money. you know, and I mean, today it's enormous money, so they expect these guys to come in there, and you can't expect one player like that to change the team. Doesn't help, you know, the guys up front who are blocking. You know, it doesn't help the guys on the outside. You still have to have a lot of support in that position. And if you don't have the right guys in place, I don't care how good you are.
Let me ask you, give you a comparison here. Joe Montana comes to the 49ers. He has a chance behind Steve DeBerg to watch, to learn a little bit. Peyton Manning comes in, starts immediately at Indianapolis. What are the difference in those dynamics, Joe?
You know, I don't know, to tell you the truth. I don't think I could have gone in and started right away, not in that offense. Maybe if you cut down a lot of the things that were involved in it. But, I mean, when the easiest way I can explain this is we went into the Pro Bowl the 1 year, and Joe Theismann was the other quarterback on the team. And Bill put in 30 plays the first run, 30 passes the first day. And Theismann is, he's so happy he can't stand it. He goes, wow, we got all the pass plays in one day. And I go, I start laughing. He goes, what are you laughing about? I said, he'll put plays in all the way to Saturdays, maybe Sunday morning if he wants. And he goes, no way, he can't do that. And sure, I mean, and that's just a cut down version of what we had to learn. And I don't think you can gather that much and jump right in. And some systems are a lot easier to operate than others. And, I can't speak for what Peyton was running, but he obviously was ready to make that jump.
Peyton had a support system that maybe you did not have, and that was his dad. Archie was a successful quarterback in the NFL as well. In that circumstance, do you think it was helpful to him to have somebody that he could call and talk to who could talk the language that he was having to deal with?
I think so. Anytime you have someone that's been that close, it's just accepting the fact that they've been there. That's the hardest part. I mean, because my boys at the age they are, they know I was there. But still, when I try to teach them something, it's still dad, you know. But at some point, I think you reach a point where they understood what he was through. And I think Archie was an example of one of those guys that a lot of talent just on the wrong team. And it was unfortunate for him.
When you look at another quarterback that came in at the same time, Ryan Leaf down in San Diego, and did not make it, what is the difference between making it in the NFL, particularly at the quarterback position, and not making it? Is it just adaptation to the league?
I think it's mental, most of it. It's mental toughness and who can handle the mental part of the game and the ups and downs and the criticism. And it's not easy to get into your attitude also, obviously, because you have to be accepted in by that team. And if you can get accepted in, that's a big relief off your shoulders or at least cuts out a part of the mental preparation that you need, because you don't have to worry about trying to always please somebody. You have their acceptance and you have them behind you, and they're willing to work with you and for you. And that helps. And if you get off to the wrong start, and like I think Ryan Leaf did, makes it tough.
The other part of the support for Peyton, I think, was the fact that his dad let him know what it was like going to be off the field, the demands that were going to be on his life. And I think he disciplined himself quite well in the first couple of years of how to handle off-field distractions and endorsements and that sort of thing. You came out of Notre Dame, which I think was a great support for you, mm-hmm. because that's a high-profile program that really knows how to develop the athlete as a person as well as an athlete. Can you tell me what they did when you were at Notre Dame that helped you prepare for that side of football at the next level?
Well, the one thing I think, always being in a game that or in a situation where it was nationally televised most of the time, there was a lot of – you're always under the spotlight, both athletically and academically. I think that was the key is we were thrown in – we weren't just with the athletes. We were thrown in with the rest of the student population and – you have a different feel when you go back to your dorm. I mean, you see these guys all the day long, and if you stay in that same group, there's nothing that happens outside that team. Where here, they start pushing you into society and letting you see what it's going to be like, after that. And I think that was a big plus. Plus, they have some great people there, like a lot of the top universities do. A guy named Mike DiCicco really was a big push for me. His son was my roommate, and he was the head of our all-academic scholarship athletes there, and they were really a big plus for me.
If I remember correctly, you only lost 4 games when you were at Notre Dame?
I don't know.
That's what the record says here in the notes.
Look at all those stats. I don't worry. I just remember if we won or not.
I think you were like 35-4 when you were at Notre Dame, and I say that because when I think about Notre Dame, that's kind of like a half step below the National Football League as far as focus and spotlight and everything. Indeed, was that a little bit of a help, too, going to the next level?
I think so. I think because of the high profileness of the university, it really was a help getting in there. You're playing against some of the top teams all the time. Played that crazy school out here in Southern California that gave us fits all the time. And, we always were playing, some very talented football teams. And I think that helps you get ready for the NFL, because when you take that step, having to deal with media, and also the pulls on the outside, there was a lot of pull from Notre Dame. There was a lot expected of you, just like there is in the NFL.
I didn't find the jock mentality at Notre Dame like I have at other football factory schools. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, I think they try their hardest to make you an athlete and a student and, be a person. And I think that's – they they struggle with it now because they, you know, they have places where these talented guys can go, and you know, do I go to this school where I, you know, I can play at a great program and not maybe not have to go to class all the time, or can I do I have to go over here and compete not only on the field but off the field, and that's tough. It's tough when you got a kid thinking about it. Well, I'm only going to play in the NFL. But they don't understand the numbers, that what his chances are for success and even making it to the NFL.
Joe Montana has joined us on Sports Byline. He's also involved in something very, very important, which we'll talk about just a little bit later on. And, of course, I've known Joe since his rookie year with the San Francisco 49ers after 15 years in the National Football League. He, of course, went on and was inducted into the National Football League Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, and I was there for that as well. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.